working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, Oklahoma. Happy Thursday, everybody. Let's check out some temperatures in our listening area. It's crazy. 92 degrees at Hollis, 70 degrees at Beaver, and then just all in between. 72 at Sealing, 71 at the May Ranch. Lahoma, you're 70 out here in the panhandle of Texas, 74 at Lipscomb. Miami, you're 81, 86 at McLean, 93 at Odell, and 92 at Goodlett, and 94 at Childress. I'm really excited about today's show. We're going to do something different. You know, we always talk about farming, whether it's peanuts, corn, milo, alfalfa, cotton, whatever. And then on the cattle side, we're always talking about the markets and vaccination and all this, but we never talk about fence building or water tanks. Well, that's what we're going to do today. Well, on the phone with me right now from Clovis, New Mexico, is Zane and Bailey Slater. And I started following this young lady on Facebook here a couple weeks ago, and her Facebook page, just so you guys know, is the fence builder's wife. Well, that gets my attention because I want to see what kind of chaos is going on with the husband and wife, fence building, water tank, whatever they're doing out there. So welcome to the show, Zane and Bailey. How are you guys?
Hi, we're good. How are you?
Oh, we're wonderful. And happy Thursday to you guys. What's the temperature like out at Clovis?
It's not too bad. I haven't looked at it, but it's bearable to be outside for a change, so that's nice.
Yeah. So I know New Mexico's got a whole different weather pattern than we do over here in western Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle. Not much, but a little bit. Have you guys been getting moisture this summer?
Yes. It's actually been probably the wettest summer that I can think of since I've been in the area.
Great. And which is good for everything, cattle, everything, probably your business also, huh?
Yep. My only complaint about it is the amount of bugs, but that's a small price to pay for all the benefits you get with it.
Yeah, we got plenty of those going on over here also. Well, you guys, I was reading your bio that Bailey sent me the other day. That's pretty interesting. It looks like both of you grew up in cow-calf operations. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, Bailey, you want to start off?
Sure. So I grew up on a cow-calf operation in Southwest Colorado. My parents had a cow permit where they ran about 150 cows. And then I went to New Mexico State University where I met Zane. And Zane grew up on the east side of New Mexico where his dad was a foreman for a cow-calf operation here in eastern New Mexico. And then once we met, we got married and then moved over to the east side of the state to be kind of closer to Zane's family. And hopefully we wanted to get into the cow-calf business over here, but we weren't able to make that happen. So right. Then we went into corporate jobs, started doing the corporate job life, thought it was all good until 2020 hit. Everybody knows it got a little crazy then. So we needed to find some backup income for what we didn't know what was going to happen with our corporate job. And that's how we got into the fencing business.
Right. Well, that sounds like fun, going from a corporate job to fencing. That's pretty unique. So, quite a lifestyle change too, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah, the best thing I can say is for my personality, it worked out well. Like, corporate was tough because you would sit behind a computer all day and, like, you know, you were working all day and constantly doing something, but at the end of the day, you'd turn your computer off and you'd never know you were there.
Right.
Where what we're doing now, you look up at the end of the day and you can see progress, and it's a nice change.
Yeah, you can see what you got going on there. And so I guess during the pandemic, as we want to call it, you guys kind of switched over. You didn't have any cows, but it sounds like, according to what Bailey sent me, you guys had he had some horses around, and he bought a skid steer and a trailer to haul hay and stuff like that. And then, boom, here you are, huh?
Yeah, we kind of just ended up with some equipment that was, you know, only getting used an hour or two a week. And you kind of looked at it and went, man, that thing's going to have issues from just sitting if we don't find something to do with it. So what are our options for what we got? And fence building kind of made sense. I'd built some, you know, in high school and stuff out on the ranch where I lived. So it just kind of was the natural progression for me.
Right. Okay, I got to ask this question. So in eastern New Mexico, those are big ranches. What's the average size ranch out there, if you was to guess?
You know, probably in the area that I was at, the ranch that I grew up on was probably around 30,000 acres. Average would probably be somewhere between 15,000 and 40, just kind of depending on how things have split up over the years.
How many cows can you guys run to the acre out there? Or how many acres to the cow?
Right, yeah. 30 is pushing it. 35 is a lot safer.
Right. I got you. And this year is unusual. And, right. Of course, you know, I think the average around here is maybe, depending on the grass type, if you're on some native and other stuff, it's 10 acres to the cow here. But this year you probably could, if you could afford to buy the cattle, you probably could have put one to every 5 acres if you wanted to. But a lot of guys didn't, but it's interesting. I just wanted to learn a little more about eastern New Mexico over there. So fence building, what caused you to get into fence building?
Like I said, I just knew how to do it. It's one of those things where once you've done, you know, 10 miles or so, it's not that complicated. You don't forget how to run a post driver. We'll put it that way. And so we had most of the tools, I think, to, you know, start up on our first contract. I had to go spend $500 and get some come-alongs and you know, just upgrade some of the tools a little bit. But we already had to pick up the trailer, the skid steer. And thanks to having a little shop with a welder and stuff, I was able to fabricate everything else that I needed just out of scrap to get us going. And so it was just something that I knew that was easy to get into with what we had already. The barriers to entry were low.
Right. So do you, on your lots that you build, do you do a lot of continuous fencing, or is it all rebar and, or sucker rod. Sucker rod with some pipe tops. You do it all?
It's kind of, I tailor a lot to the customer, what they're looking for. So I've built 4 big sets of pins now. As far as like, I don't want to say big sets of pins, smallish working pins, you know, just something you'd have kind of that shared a couple pastures. There was one that was top rail with sucker rod. Another guy had me replace a lot of stuff with continuous panels. That was the first time I'd worked with those. They went up pretty easy. One set, some folks wanted to be able to run cattle and sheep, so we did 3 rails of 2 7/8 pipe and put livestock panels on that. And then a project I just finished up was actually, we just drove pipe in the ground and welded just regular panels straight to them, and that made a really solid set of pins too. Depending on what panels you hang up, of course, these were pretty heavy, but it's kind of just whatever the customer is looking for is what we go with.
Right. What do they, because I've built four sets probably myself in the last 10 years, and it's always been with continuous fence, and it does make life a lot easier, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's crazy how that instead of working in 10-foot sections, working in 20-foot sections, how much faster stuff comes together.
Yeah, and then it's good stuff, and it works good. And so the last set that I built, we used the 7-bar panel inside the lot, and then there's nothing going to jump out of that lot. If they do, they'll probably break a leg doing it. But I didn't have to put any top rail on anywhere except for where the gates was, and that just makes things go a whole lot easier.
Yeah, it keeps your gates from falling over time. Keeps everything working right.
Yeah, it keeps it all steady and solid and stuff like that. Well, I need to take a break. And if you guys don't mind, I'll put you on hold, and I got to pay the bills, and we'll be right back after this Oklahoma Farm Bureau break brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. We'll be right back after this.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You farmers like saving money on stuff you gotta have? You can save instantly when you buy two or more eligible Bridgestone or Firestone Ag tires at Blair Tire and Feed. Get $300 off all eligible AD2IF and VF radial tires and Bridgestone radials. Get $200 off all eligible non-AD2 radial tires. And get $25 off Destination Farm and Destination Turf. Blair Tire and Feed at the crossroads in Blair, Oklahoma. Save instantly on the tires you gotta have.
Next spring, you'll fire up the tractor, turn the earth, plant the seed, and be on your way to another harvest. If you take care of your tractor right now. Before you put it up, do the maintenance so you'll be ready to go next spring. Everything you need to keep your tractor performing is at Camrock Supply. All the grease and hydraulic fluids and filters. All the nuts and bolts, all the tire patches. All the stuff is at Camrock Supply. All of it. Next to Fred's Steakhouse in Elk City. When it's time, make sure your tractor is ready to go.
My mom used to take me to the local dairy when I was a little girl, and I always was interested in learning where my food came from. I didn't grow up on a farm. I'm from the city, but please don't hold that against me. We owned a farm in Colorado and again here in western Oklahoma. My name's Becky Brown, and my husband's name's Tony Tummins, and together we own BT Butchers, a mobile meat processor. We bring our trailers to you, your place processed your way. Please find us at B as in Becky, T as in Tony, butchers.com. That's btbutchers.com. We would love to help you feed your family. The short wait list and two-day turnaround means we move pretty fast, and since we come to you, it really is convenient. Not bad for a girl from the city. We would love to help you feed your family.
You're so busy out on the farm, you don't run into town unless you absolutely have to. The folks on the east side of Wheeler make it easier for you to stay on the farm. They'll deliver high-pro feed in bulk to your place. They deliver bulk feed in five states. They're used to it. But if you're in town, stop in and ask about lick tubs and talk to them about fertilizer. They've got plenty of that, too. Your cattle and crops don't have better friends than the folks at the Wheeler General Store. Sure, they're on Facebook, but mostly they're on Highway 152 on the east side of Wheeler. That's Wheeler General Store.
This season, Army Worm, better watch out. Because your wheat is protected by Lumavia CPL insecticide seed treatment with a unique mode of action that starts at the seed then moves through the plant to protect it, from roots to shoots, for strong stand establishment and better yield potential. Army Worms, you're out of here. Learn more at corteva.us/lumavia CPL.
My papa started Hutton Inc. in 1983.
And now our uncle runs it just like Papa did.
We're learning the ropes too, because this isn't just dirt work, it's family legacy.
From GPS-guided earthwork to excavation, house and building pads, topsoil and aggregate sales, drainage repair, forklift and manlift rentals, Hutton Inc. does it all.
Three generations strong, we move the earth and your future.
Call Hutton Inc. at 580-225-0225.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Here is your Texas Panhandle Ag weather update. So I went over there as close to Clovis, New Mexico as I could. And the closest Mesonet center with the West Texas Mesonet I found was in Mule Shoe. 86 degrees, humidity's 38, dew point's 58. The winds are out of the west at a whopping 5 miles an hour. 54 one-hundredths of an inch of rain so far in the month of August. 8-inch soil temperature, 81 degrees. On the phone with me right now from Clovis, New Mexico, is Zane and Bailey Slater. Bailey is also known on social media as the fence builder's wife. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Before I get into this cool tank building that you do, I want to talk about fencing a little bit, away from cattle lots and stuff. So I noticed on some of her videos that you guys use a lot of, I'm guessing, that cedar post for your corner post.
Yes, sir, and that's dependent on the customer. We have one big customer in particular that still likes the cedar corners. A lot of other people that we build for have moved over to pipe, though.
I got you. Well, I was looking at that, and actually, cedar's pretty tough. I mean, it's I'm sure, I don't know what the lifespan of them is. It's probably not as long as what, because there's still some up here from the 30s and 40s that use Bodart post over here in western Oklahoma, so it's pretty tough. And so is most of your fencing five wire, six wire?
Five wire is going to be the most of what we do. Every now and then we'll have somebody request a four wire for like an interior fence, but that's pretty rare. They're pretty much saying, you know, if we're going to rebuild the fence, let's build it right.
Right.
And most of our four wire are NRCS fences, and they require a four wire fence
on the interior
for their interior cross fencing.
Right.
So it's not usually it's usually our NRCS fencing that's the four wire.
I gotcha. Well, that there's I'm guessing there's a lot of horses around Clovis. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, I'd say there's a fair amount.
Yeah. And a lot of cowboys out there.
Yes, sir.
So, lots of cowboys out there. All right, I want to. Your water tanks that you built are really cool. Zane, can you explain to everybody those big round water tanks that you build?
Sure. The closest thing that I have found to them you know, a commercial product that's readily available is going to be a bottomless tank. For anybody that's familiar with that brand, that it's along the same concept. What we refer to them as is just a steel rim stock tank, where we go out and we get plates ripped in half. Typically, it's a 5-foot plate ripped in half, so we get a 30-inch by 20-foot long sheet and weld them together to make the diameter that you want and pretty much stand them up in a big ring, pick them up off the ground, and pour concrete floor in them so that they're sealed off and hold water. And that's pretty much the gist of them. You see a lot of them on, if you have been around ranches that have been established for quite a long time, they were very popular in the olden days.
Right. Yeah. No, one of my landlords that I take care of some cattle for, they have one over here north of Elk City. And if I remember my dimensions right, it's a 24 footer, and it stands probably around 28, 30 inches, like you were talking about. And they use, look like galvanized rings, ribbed rings, like you'd see on a granary. They use those on this one. And
that would be the bottomless tank brand.
Okay. Yep. And so that's how that works. Is there any advantage of using steel plate like you're using versus the ribbed metal, or does it make any difference?
So it's going to come down again to what your customer's bias is. The customer that we put a lot of these in for doesn't believe as strongly in galvanized as some people do. Those bottomless tank brands, they're going to use a 10-gauge steel, which is close to an eighth inch thick. We use quarter-inch plate, but it's not treated with anything. So you pretty much know it's going to rust.
Right. Right.
With galvanized, it will rust. It's just, when is it going to rust? When's that galvanized going to wear through? And so their philosophy is, let's put in thicker metal and we know what we're putting in. It's also very consistent with, you know, the old tanks that we're replacing, their construction, and they've been out there for who knows how long. So it's kind of a tried and true method, and it just comes from their bias of saying, like, we know this works, let's stick with it.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. And quarter inch. Yeah. It's steel's going to rust, but quarter inch is pretty thick, and it's not
a lot of metal.
Yeah. It's a lot of metal. And it's not like, I don't know how hard is the water out there?
You know, that ranch in particular has pretty decent water. There's not a lot of alkalinity in it. So it's not, you know, expedited rusting process. And then on top of that, what a lot of people don't realize is, as long as you keep your tanks full, you don't get as much rust whenever it's constantly submerged. as something where it gets wet and then it dries out, and then it gets wet and then it dries out. So you're looking at a lifespan of probably 40 plus years on these tanks as long as they're kept pretty full.
Right. What's the, what's your average size you build, you install?
We have been doing 25, and then they stepped up to 30 foot diameter tanks, which will hold about 11,000 gallons.
What's the 25 hole?
The 25 holds 7,650, roughly.
Okay. So basically for another 5 foot in diameter, you're getting another 3,000-4,000 gallons of water.
Yeah, another 3,400. And that's the cool thing about circles is they expand squarely. So you add a little bit of diameter and you add a lot of water capacity.
Right. Is that the reason behind these big tanks like you build, is just because of the capacity?
Yes, sir. Yeah. So the majority of the ranch is fed by either solar or wind. A lot of windmills still exist just because there's not the water flow to maintain a solar pump. So you have to work around your water availability. With wind, the wind doesn't always blow, and whenever it does, windmills can be finicky. You can break a rod or have something get stuck in a check or something, and water shuts off, and then you're at the mercy of your well man. And, you know, you got to have the water to sustain for a day or two if that's how long it takes for somebody to get out there and work on it. And same with solar. If the sun doesn't shine, you don't have any water production. And you're already a little bit behind with solar because peak hours, I think, are like 9 to 4 throughout the day.
Right.
Run full power. So yep. You're missing out on... If it's windy, a windmill will pump all day. But with solar, you just don't have the same production. So you got to have the capacity to withstand those gaps in production.
Yeah, because if you got, just for easy figuring, you got 10,000 gallons of water storage, and depending on how many cows you got out there and they drink 15, 20, 30 gallons a day, you got a couple of days there to get things fixed, whether it is solar or wind power. So
right. And some customers are paranoid enough that we're putting in two of these side by side at a windmill, so they're actually, you know, 22,000 gallons of storage per well. And I don't think that's a bad move, because like I said, it just pushes you out, gives you that much more time to figure something out if something goes wrong.
Oh, yeah. I'd be that guy, I promise you.
Yeah, I know. I don't blame them at all.
No, I'm pretty paranoid. When it's like the other day, I've been going over every day and checking the pen and the pasture where we're fence line weaning some calves, and they got a solar pump. And that solar pump scares me more than the windmill does. Or makes me nervous. There's always something could go wrong. Cow reach over there and break the float or whatever. And I just, the cows are always up there when I get in there, and I see them over there drinking water, and I don't think nothing about it. Well, the water's right there. Well, a couple of days later, I look over there and I seen that cow's head disappear in that dual water tank system I got. I was like, what the heck? So I walk over there, and the pipe coming from the windmill well that feeds the water into the tank had come loose.
Right.
And all the water was going back in the well, and I got about 8 inches of water in each one of these tanks, which ain't much for 30 cows. And I was like, man, and then the wind's not blowing. And I was just like, really? So I hauled a couple loads of water over there to get them caught up, and then that storm rolled through and got me back to the tanks back to full. Always something could go wrong, but it wouldn't have been as near nerve-wracking with, you know, instead of 2,000 or 3,000 gallons capacity, 10,000 go a long way with this guy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, sure.
But that, so your common size is 25 or 30 foot. And, one of my favorite videos that I seen Bailey post, was the one where you were tying into the plumbing of the old tank out to the new tank. You remember that one, Bailey?
Yeah. Yep. That one's pretty recent.
Yeah, and that's that was the one that got me going. So were you tearing, Zane, were you going to tear that old tank out, or what was the deal on that?
Yeah, so that one was one where we replaced a the second tank in series. So the way that most of the tanks work around there, that the windmill pumps into the first tank, and then there's just a gravity overflow pipe. You got to set your second tank a little lower, and it drains out of the first tank, whenever that tank's full, into the second tank, and then whenever that your second tank's full, it just there's a runoff pond that runs off to you. In that specific instance, the existing second tank was rotten. It was full of bolts with rubber washers, and every time you'd try to add another piece of rubber to it to stop it, you'd just break out a bigger chunk, and it was a mess. So they just decided to replace the second tank. And if I'm remembering correctly, that video was us tying into the existing first tank to feed the second tank. And then I'm not typically the one that tears out the old tanks on the jobs. Usually these ranches are big enough, they have their own backhoe or something, and they'll come around behind me once everything's wrapped up, and they'll tear out what they need to.
Right. If you got two tanks, what's the best way to equalize both of them without a bunch of stuff stopping up your pipe, or is there any such thing?
You know, the best thing I've seen, if you're just going to do gravity fed off of a windmill, or you don't want to put a pressure tank on a solar, you're just going to have it run straight in, is to put in a anti-debris shield, which is pretty much you've got a either a 2-inch or a 2.5-inch piece of pipe sticking up that's your overflow pipe. And then this would be like a 4-inch piece of pipe, and you can just make it, you know, about a foot long, and then put a piece of angle iron that sticks down to the bottom of the tank and keeps it where that pipe kind of wraps around your overflow pipe and sticks out of the water. And that way there's kind of, for that water to overflow, it's pulling up from lower in the tank, and you're not getting all the debris off the top just running straight in. It's kind of keeping your water cleaner going in. But there's not really a true fix for that. It's a matter of time until you have issues, honestly, with the gravity overflow.
You'll have to send me a picture of that deal with the 4-inch and the 2-inch. That sounds kind of cool. I need to look at that.
I can definitely do that.
Yeah, cool. And then, okay, so on any of your solar pumps, or because you won't have one on your windmill, or on your electric, do you have some kind of, do you have a favorite float system that works good?
You know, I can't think of the name for them, but it's, we typically go in, like if we're coming off a pipeline, the pipelines are all going to be 1.25 inches, and we'll neck down to 3/4, and then it's a long arm that's got, we don't use the chain and the little barrel or the smaller barrel. We use the big pancake float and a brass rod. We find that those seem to work better in lieu of the chain. I'm not sure what the name of that.
I think I know one you're talking about. I've seen him at the Oklahoma Cattlemen Association. They got a booth up there, and exact one you're talking about probably.
Yeah, they're pretty popular.
Yeah, and then is there any, you're out there every day, is there any tricks or advice you give anybody on those float systems to help things go better, or just keep them clean and whatever?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of set and forget. One thing that we have started watching for is, especially with these bigger tanks, is you have to set your float a little lower just due to the wind. It's not such a problem with your 20 and even your 25s, but whenever you start getting 30 and the wind starts blowing across the top, you've got a lot more time for waves to build, and you'll start lapping your tank if you don't set your float low enough. So you end up losing a lot of water if you're only set down 1 inch, where we've had to start setting down about at least 2 inches just to make sure that we don't have excess water loss just due to the wind pushing water over the side of the tank.
White capping?
So, yes, sir. Yeah.
But you mind me asking, what does a tank cost the way you do it? Say I want a 30 footer and I want you to install it. What's just the estimated cost of one?
Yeah, depending on, you know, the distance from town, how far a concrete truck has to come, the concrete truck prices, that kind of stuff. What I've kind of seen is they're going to run a little under 11,000, which puts it at about 95 cents a gallon.
Okay.
For what, on average, I've put in.
So, okay. So if a guy just wanted to estimate something, a dollar a gallon would be pretty close.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and I'd say it's worth it because water's the main nutrient to your cattle, no matter what anybody right. says.
Yeah,
that's the most important thing. And is there anything, in case somebody ever asked me or you or whoever, is there something that you could spray on the inside of your tank to prevent rust?
I was trying to think about that. There's some people that install those bottomless tanks, I guess, and they kind of say you can just put a pool liner in it and not have to worry about concrete. I'm not sure how well that would work or not.
Right.
Honestly, the best solution that I've seen is to go ahead and fiberglass the inside of the tank. But you have to do it correctly in that the metal should be sandblasted beforehand, because otherwise, if it's not perfectly clean, you're still going to get a little bit of rust, you know, some even mill scale. If you put it on a brand new install, that mill scale will eventually separate from the steel and you'll start to get separation, and then you're still going to rust out your tank probably faster than if you just left it alone. But if you go through and sandblast it and give that resin a really good surface to stick to, and go ahead and do the floor while you're there, you get all the benefits of the lasting of fiberglass with all the benefits of a steel rim tank, in that it's more durable and it's a little easier to repair if you ever do bust through it.
All right. Well, you guys got time for one more segment?
Sure.
All right. I need to take a break and we'll come back, and because I want to talk more about the tanks here. Versus some other style tanks besides the bottomless tanks. I want to talk to you a little more about that. So,
sure.
All right, we're going to take an Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. We'll be right back after this.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey folks, this is EJ Gredeman with ASCO Equipment out of Elk City, Oklahoma. If you need rental equipment, I got your back. From excavators to wheel loaders, telehandlers, and forklifts, we rent the brands that you know and trust. With flexible terms, responsible service, and expert support, we're here to keep your job on track. Need equipment? We're on it here at ASCO Equipment. Visit ASCOEQ.com or stop by our Elk City branch, 513 West 20th here in Elk City, Oklahoma. Or you can just give me a call, 580-243-9233. Appreciate it, folks, and y'all have a blessed day.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
I've had several clients when we're sitting in a closing room, we're signing the final pieces of paper, and we slide the keys across the desk and tell them, congratulations, you're a homeowner, and they're just elated. They're thrilled. They finally realize that their dream came true. They were actually able to own a home, and the children are in there with them. And they're like, I get to go get my new room. It's for the whole family to enjoy. They're very excited to own a home. I'm Joe Shepard, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Kent Watkins here with SEI Agritech in Elk City, Oklahoma. When it comes to feeding your cattle, try our Mixed 30 supplement, packed with high energy and quality protein to keep your herd thriving. If you're dealing with pests, we carry caput, feral hog, gopher, and prairie dog bait to help protect your land. And don't forget, we are now booking winter contracts for feed and mineral. Secure the best for your cattle before the season changes. Give us a call at SEI Agritech on South Randall in Elk City.
Meet AgSense 365 from Valley. They've combined their best in-class remote irrigation management applications into one powerful platform. Easily manage everything from pivots to pumps and more anytime, anywhere, all with AgSense 365. Contact Knutson Irrigation at 1-800-373-9325 today to learn more about AgSense 365, the most intuitive app for remote irrigation management. Online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, August 25th. 1,285 head were sold. 22 head of steers at 522 brought 487.50. 4 at 545 brought 425. 8 at 588 brought 400. 21 at 637 brought 385. 10 at 727 brought 366. 5 at 748 brought 365. 14 at 1,032 brought 300. 6 head of heifers at 498 brought 390. 5 at 556 brought 370. 13 at 647 brought 330. 34 at 687 brought 355. 66 at 729 brought 350. 48 at 870 brought 330. Butcher cows were 92 to 171. Butcher bulls brought 176 to 208. Bred cows were 1600 to 2450. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Here's your Northwestern Oklahoma Ag Weather Update. I picked Big City of Buffalo. It's 74, the dew point 68, humidity's 83. The winds are out of the northeast at 6 miles an hour, 3.41 inches of rain in the last 10 days, 3-day average, 4-inch bare soil temperatures, 73, sunset at 8:14, cloudy and 77 today, mostly cloudy and 62 tonight, and mostly cloudy with a high of 78. Well, Zane and Bailey Slater is on the phone with me right now from Clovis, New Mexico. Bailey's known as the fence builder's wife on social media. What do you guys call you, the fence building company? I never ask. Hello.
Straight line fencing.
Back up. Sorry, I didn't have your volume turned up. Say again. Sorry.
Our fence building company is Straight Line Fencing.
Okay. Is it straight, Zane? Do you build a straight fence? Are you picky?
I sure try to.
He's very picky. I did one video of us lining out a fence, and I had to edit it down from, like, I don't know, 30 minutes of lining out the fence to, like, the 5 minutes that it allows you to post. But he's very picky.
That's awesome. Well, Bailey, we haven't got to talk to you much. What's your favorite part of fence building?
Making money.
That's the best answer ever. Zane, what do you think about that answer?
Yeah, that's what I do it for, to try to get us a little closer to that cow-calf operation we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, are you planning about, you guys planning your cow-calf operation in that area?
We're kind of undecided on it still.
Oh, are you?
Where exactly we'd like to be.
Well, don't go.
The best part about it. Oh.
Oh, no, go ahead, sorry.
The best part about doing this kind of work is you get to see a lot of different operations and how they build fence and how they put together their operation, and you get to make your own notes in the back of your mind for whenever you get your own place and your own operation of things you want to do or don't want to do. So that's a really cool part of our business.
Well, you're so, like, you sound to me like you're on the cow-calf part, not the stalker or anything like that.
Right.
Yeah. So they are, what's your favorite color cows?
Go ahead.
Come so on, Bailey.
I like Tarantese cows, but I've gotten a little partial to Charolais here recently because I think that they look really pretty, but Zane keeps telling me that they don't do as well in the market. But they raise really great calves, so I have a hard time believing that they wouldn't do just as good. And they're lighter colors, so they should do better in the feedlot, not get as hot with the black.
Oh, Zane. But, you're so much in trouble. I bet I got a couple of guys listening right now that are, they do cross Charolais with black cows or vice versa, however they do. They're spitting their chewing tobacco out right now after she said that.
I think they're great cows. I've seen them out here on a couple ranches, and I think that they do great and they look great.
Oh, no. There was a cattle buyer that passed away here, I don't remember, 3 or 4 years ago, that was from around here. So when I got into the cow-calf, back into the cow-calf deal back in, I don't even remember, I don't even talk about 2012, 2010. And I sat at the sale barn with him in the front row, and I said, what's the best calf to sell at the sale barn? Cross was what? And he told me, Angus, Charolais, Angus, or Simmental, Charolais, He said, if you want to have pretty grass in your front yard and have black cattle making the perfect picture on your ranch, that's one thing. He said, if you want to make some money, cross the Charolais with something black and you'll make more money.
As long as they throw black calves has been what I've seen.
Yes. Yes. You get some weird colors going on there with the Charolais and Semi Angus cows, but he was right. They always did good. And I got a guy that lives down here in the breaks down here in South Elk City down there towards Mangum, and oh my God, he's just ate up with the Charolais stuff. Makes me sick. No, not really. I like to give him heck about it anyway. But there's I wish you guys the best of luck with your plans with the cow-calf operation, because man, that's all you read about is how tough it is to get into the cattle business right now, or has been. This has been coming on for 3 or 4 years just because of the price of land, price of your inputs and stuff. But I have faith that you guys can do it, because you both sound like you're really hard workers.
Thank you.
Yep, and it'd be all good. But there, okay. I wanna finish up here, and I was thinking about that pool liner you was talking about before we went to break. And right. When I lived in Kansas, we had a swimming pool, above ground swimming pool, and I was changing that liner out every 3 or 4 years. I'm out on that deal.
So, right. Yeah. Like I said, I just came across it and thought, never thought about that.
Yep. I'm sure here with the oil field around here, I see them hot seaming the plastic together, and it's really good durable plastic that they line these frack pits with. I'm sure there's something come out of there, because that one I was telling you about, my landlord has north of Elk City, it's got a few leaks in it that water will just seep out. You turn the windmill on and it'll just stay about 8 inches full because it's seeping out. And you know, it still looks like it's in really good shape. But they're just got a, you know, I don't want anything that will cause the water not to be contaminated with for the cattle and stuff like that. Because, like I said, that's their main nutrient is that water.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So you see some guys around here and out in the Texas Panhandle, you see some of those tire tanks, you know, where they've got the water coming up underneath for either solar power or rural water. And then you've got these big fiberglass tanks that you see, whether they be 8 foot or 12 foot, or they got some as big as 20 and 25 foot that come in halves. What's the advantage? There's got to be an advantage of having a steel tank like the one you build.
Yeah, so the big one that jumps out to me right away, I don't know what y'all's country is like, but over here we've got quite a bit of sand. So whenever the wind blows, it's only a matter of time until your tanks fill up with sand. And the big reason this customer likes it is the ranch has a backhoe, and they had me build a tooth guard for the backhoe bucket, where it's just a flat piece of steel instead of having teeth. And they can drive around and clean out these, pump the tank out and clean them out in, 15-20 minutes with the backhoe. Versus, I don't know if you've ever tried to shovel out one of those 24-foot fiberglass tanks.
Yeah, I did. It wasn't very fun.
So that's going to be the biggest thing. And then beyond that, you can go bigger with steel. 30-foot is by no means the max. So you can get more. And the bigger you go, the cheaper it gets per gallon, obviously. And then after that, it's just kind of you can customize how you install them. So if you want to put them in a set of pens where you have one side's out to a pasture and then your other side's over to a water lot, well, even if you went with a 12-foot span, that's a pretty long ways to span, even with pipe, and have something jump in there and decide they want out, they can do some damage to a 12-foot span of pipe pretty easy. Versus these, you can kind of build around what's already there. You can pour concrete around a post in the middle of the tank, and or several. We just built one where we split it three ways, and I think I had 6 different posts in there and was able to split up the tank that way, where that wouldn't have been possible with fiberglass or a rubber tire tank.
I got you. Hey, I just had some messages come in on the text line, and I got, sure. I come up with something else to talk with you about. But I got one last break to do. Do you guys mind staying for just a little bit longer?
Absolutely.
All right. Okay. Well, we're going to take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau, which I'm a member of, by the way. And when we come back, I'm going to give you a Central Crop Care Ag Market update. And then we're going to finish the show up with Zane and Bailey. We're talking about these water tanks that he built. We'll be right back after this.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Reap the rewards of buying a new zero-turn mower from DJ's Rentals and Sales in Elk City. You'll enjoy discounted cash prices or financing with approved credit. A free t-shirt and cap, DJ's discounts, and a large selection of in-stock blades, belts, and OEM parts. They'll take care of any warranty work that needs to be done, and you'll have the peace of mind that comes with making a purchase from a business you know and trust. DJ's is your authorized Spartan, Cub Cadet, and Hustler mower dealer located on South Main in Elk City.
Hello, August. There's lots to do. Back to school, football Fridays, tailgating, hanging out, loading up friends and family. You need a truck that keeps up with it all. Head to Cummins and Weatherford and drive home in a new 2025 GMC Sierra Light Duty and get 0% financing for 36 months. It's a season of driving and making memories. Get ready to roll. Cummins Cadillac Chevrolet GMC in Weatherford, I-40 and Airport Road, or online at CumminsBPG.com. GMC, we are professional grade. See dealer for details.
I'm Sean Wilson reminding you that tomorrow the KECO Rolling Radio Show will be live from 1 to 3 at Circle A in Elk City. Circle A in Elk City can get your whole family rodeo ready. It's also Rodeo Week, and Circle A invites you in for discounts throughout the store on the brands you know and trust. You can also pre-purchase your rodeo tickets while you're getting all your rodeo gear. Make plans to join the KECO Rolling Radio Show tomorrow from 1 to 3 at Circle A Western and Outdoor and get you and your family rodeo ready. Circle A, 3000 West 3rd Street in Elk City.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Do you know Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau Insurance? If you do, you already know this about him.
When people meet me and get to know me, I think they do truly walk away with a feel of, you know what, when that guy says something, he means it. He means what he says what he means. I'm a straight shooter. I'll tell people up front, hey, I might not be able to beat that price. One thing that I always do when I meet with a client or with a new customer, I look over all their insurance stuff. And there are times I hand it back to them and say, hey, you've got great coverage at a great price. If you're not happy with your agent, let's look at making a change. But if you don't have any issues with them, hey, you've got another set of eyes that looked at your policy and you've got good coverage. You don't have anything to worry about. That goes a long way because a couple of years from now, they may have a rate increase. I'm Mickey Lively, and I work for Oklahoma Farm Bureau, and my office is located in Greer County.
Mickey Lively and Oklahoma Farm Bureau in Greer County. Call 782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for southwestern Oklahoma. I picked a big town, a Lone Wolf. It's 89, feels like 95. Heat risk is moderate. The winds are out of the northwest at 5. We got 3/4 inch of rain in the last 10 days. Sunset at 8:10. 40% chance of thunderstorms today, 95 for a high, 68 for a low tonight, 20% chance of rain. And then little old northern comes through, 82 for a high tomorrow. How about that? All right, let's do the Central Crop Care out of Hobart Grain Market Update. And man, somebody said something about cattle because it took a tank all of a sudden. September corn, 384. September soybeans, 1030. Soybean meal for September, 287. Even down 610. Soybean oil's down a little bit at 51.81 for September. Hard red winter wheat, September 488, up 2.5. December's up 1.25 at 514. Live cattle, October 236.65, down 287. December's 238.47, down 242. Feeders for September, 361.17, down 422. October, 360, down 332. And lean hogs, October, 94.35. The penny news, this week's penny news is out. And it is looking good. And one thing, there's an Atwoods insert in there, and this caught my attention. And the reason why I'm going to sound like a smart aleck is the buy of the week is shotgun shells. Usually almost $9, they're $7.49. The Federal's up there, 12-gauge at Atwoods. Dove season opens Monday. And for most of the people I know that dove hunt, it's one case or one box of shells, 25 shots to every dove you get. So there, you're going to save a few dollars by doing that. All right, back to the phone now. I got Zane and Bailey Slayton, Slater, not when I say Slater, Slater with me on the phone. His wife on social media is the fence builder's wife. Check her out on social media and shows all the different, I mean, it's no drama or nothing. It's just actual work going on. And appreciate you guys coming on today with me. It looks like we're going to do a whole show with you.
Sure. Happy to be here.
Yeah. So on the text line, we was talking about your water tanks that you install and stuff. And there was a gentleman that texted in about they have the ribbed galvanized tanks. And he seems like that the freezing of the water, the ice and stuff, actually pushes the ribs out a little bit. What about your tanks? You got any knowledge on that?
Interesting. I haven't been around the bottomless tank brand much. If so, it's never been an issue. It's, you know, never broken welds or anything. That's one of the notes that I kind of made about the bigger tanks too, is the more water you have, the more thermal mass you have, the less freezing, the slower freezing you'll have.
Right.
But these are full welded, and I don't overlap the sheets like you see some people do and bolt them together or anything. You get water in between there, and that'll expedite rusting. These are end-to-end butt welded, and we've never had one, you know, split or break apart because of icing that I'm aware of.
Well, good. That's why I asked that question. I thought that was, appreciate him messaging in on that, because it just brought you and I up to, you know, this conversation about freezing. Because one thing I do like about the windmills is, the ice can get thick on some of those tanks and stuff. But, you know, if the wind's blowing, that water's going to be pumping out, and it kind of helps keep that general area over there thawed out.
Right.
And then, he says, he was saying when it just has 2 to 3 inches in it, that it pushes.
Oh, wow.
That does that. So, that makes sense.
Yeah, I've seen ice as thick as maybe 6 to 8 inches, and we still haven't had problems.
Right. And they, Bailey, you're being off quiet.
To be honest, I started my social media to start to understand what we're doing out on those job sites, because I'm one of those ones, if I don't have a test at the end, it all goes in one ear and out the other. And so making the videos were my own personal test at the end of the day to see if I comprehended anything. So a lot of this stuff, a lot of the technical stuff is all Zane. And then I put together the social media videos to help educate other people, about, you know, ranch construction and things that are going out on ranches that you don't see typically on social media.
Well, correct. That's what I said earlier. I think it's cool. Like I said, it's not just a lot of drama going on out there. It's real. And that's like, you know, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, so you see a lot of ag accounts are like the Saddle Horses and Sunsets, and you see you know, the real, your cowboys moving cows. Not a ton of accounts are out there showing you, you know, the construction, the building of things out on ranches. So I thought it was a beacon. It's been really fun, and it's helped me learn what we're doing out there a lot of times. Because I grew up on a cow-calf operation, and I didn't know the parts of an each race until we got married and started a fencing company.
Right. And then, yeah, because one person texted in and said, love this show, following the fence builder's wife now. So there you go. We know you got one new friend out of this whole mess.
I love it. I like socializing with all the people line, and it's hard when you're the fence builder's wife, you're out in the middle of nowhere, you don't get a whole lot of socialization. So that's
yeah.
Social media is where I get that.
Yeah. Well, Zane and Bailey, my music's playing, the show's over, and thank you so much for taking so much time out of your precious day to come on and do the show with us.
Yes, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Jimmy. We really appreciate you highlighting us, and we appreciate you.
All right, no problem. Have a good day.
You too, thanks.
Bye.
You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
The red, white, and blue flapping in the wind. That's what country sounds like.